All right, call this meeting to order, the Newport Planning Commission. First order of business is roll call. Jim Patrick here, Bill Brannigan.
Here.
Bob Berman.
Here.
Jim Hasselman.
Here.
Gary East.
Here.
Braulio Escobar.
Here.
Okay, first up is approval of the Planning Commission work session meeting minutes of June 13th, 2022. The work session meeting minutes of July 11th, 2022, and the regular session meeting minutes of June 13th, 2022.
Having read all three sets of minutes and submitted minor corrections to two of them, of which you all got copies, I move we accept all three sets of minutes as written and corrected.
I'll second.
Okay, any more discussion or corrections? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, nay. Motion carries. No action items?
There are no action items.
Citizen comment.
Anyone wishing to address the Planning Commission about anything not on the agenda tonight? Okay. Now I got to read a script for Zoom. We're calling the public hearing to order for file number 1-CP-22/2-Z-22, amendments to the comprehensive plan map, zoning map, and Newport Municipal Code chapters 1403, 14.13, and 14.19 related to the South Beach Commercial Industrial Quarter. This public hearing will be conducted using the Zoom video conference platform. We get started. I'd like to provide staff a moment to identify individuals participating virtually. I also like to cover a few ground rules. You've already got who's, it's just Braulio, right?
And that's correct.
Yeah. Individuals wishing to speak may raise their hand proper or use the raise hand feature, which is found by clicking on the participant's bottom and the bottom of the computer screen, raise hand button on the bottom of the smartphone, or dialing 9 on a landline. I will call out order of testimony in cases where multiple hands are raised. Please keep your microphone muted unless you're speaking. Press 6 to mute and unmute a landline. For persons participating by video or phone, the city can make a shared screen feature available for those who wish to make a presentation. Information shared with the Planning Commission in this manner is part of the record, and a copy of the materials provided to staff. For those persons who have elected to attend the hearing in person, a computer is set up so you may provide testimony using the video conference platform. Quasi-judicial and legislative land use hearings. This statement applies to all quasi-judicial legislative land use hearings on the agenda. All testimony and evidence presented toward the request being heard must be directed towards the applicable criteria in the Newport Comprehensive Plan, the Newport Municipal Code, or other land use regulations or standards for which the speaker believes to apply to the decision. Failure of anyone to raise an issue was accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the Planning Commission and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue will preclude an appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals, LUBA, based on that issue. An issue which may be the basis for appeal to LUBA shall be raised not later than the close of record or at following this evidentiary hearing. Such issues should be raised and accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the city decision makers and the parties an adequate opportunity to respond to each issue. A failure by the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the city to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Prior to the conclusion of the hearing, any participant may request an opportunity to present additional evidence, arguments, or testimony regarding the application. If such a request is made, then the hearing will be continued to a date certain and a schedule set for the submittal of additional testimony, a period for parties to respond to the new testimony, and a period by which the applicant may provide a final argument. At this time, I would ask the Planning Commission to disclose any actual or potential conflicts of interest, bias, ex parte cabinets, or site visits.
Well, site visit, but I mean.
Anyone present has an objection to the participation of any Planning Commission member or the Commission as a whole, please raise their objection now. Planning Commission may, at the request of a participant or on its own accord, continue the hearing to a date certain to provide an opportunity for persons to present and rebut new evidence, arguments, or testimonies related to applicable criteria. Hearing will proceed in the following order: staff report, applicant's testimony, person in favor, person opposed, Applicant's rebuttal. The record closes for public testimony, Planning Commission deliberation, questions, and verbal decision, and a final order and findings will be prepared for consideration at the next meeting. That said, and it also, because it's a legislative hearing, there's not really an applicant, so I'll be just calling testimony. You can testify in any direction that you feel like. And if you haven't already turned in a slip, if you do come forward, please give us your name and your mailing address so it'll be part of the record. All right, staff report.
Thank you. Derek Tokos, City Newport Community Development Director.
Excuse me, I don't mean to jump in right now, but I believe that the PDF that I downloaded is missing a page or more. It ends at attachment E. And then the very next thing is a sentence that says US 101 intersection was dropped. I don't know what we can do about it right now, but the rest of the list of attachments
should have been there.
So big page, I go from big page 19, and then big page 20 is all text, and when it should have been.
This is on a combined file? Because I'm looking at the individual attachments, and they appear to be coming through.
Oh, no, I always get the combined file. Yours looks okay, Sherry?
What number do you go to on the big numbers on the thing?
Well, here's 20.
Yeah.
And this is 19.
Okay, you're up at the top.
Yeah, I'm right at the very beginning.
What attachment? Was this E?
No, the list of attachments. My document stops at attachment E.
E. Yeah, oh, okay.
Is yours?
Yes.
And the very next thing is something about US 101, right?
I looked at that.
That is correct.
Bob, yeah. Are you able to get online?
Oh, yeah.
Because if you go to the agenda packet, I think I'm sure you how to get to it.
They had
I see that, but
do you see the same problem I'm seeing?
Yeah, that's on the one that was combined.
Yeah,
it's down below. If you go up top on the planning commission's
and get page, just the agenda and then click on the staff report,
the packet that's right up
the
top,
the whole packet
where you're looking at the meeting.
All right, let me get that. Give me 1 second. Sorry. But
yeah, I downloaded the latest one because it includes the letters that came in. So,
okay, well, I'm going to click on packet here.
Yeah, that'll give you the whole thing.
All right, let's see what.
Oh,
there you go.
No, that's just the agenda. The agenda was okay. It's,
I see. Show you about?
I don't have a problem. But it does. I see where she's at now.
Wait. These are the minutes. Wait a minute. Hang on a second. This doesn't.
You got to scroll through everything.
Don't know how you do bookmarks here, so I got to.
Missing something?
Go through all the minutes.
Well, I don't have this problem. I think this is.
It didn't get on there.
Well, of course, you guys are online. I'm on a hard copy, so.
I don't know what happened. Because all of the individual items are there.
Okay.
Nope, it's exactly the same.
It's not on there, yeah.
So I don't know what to do, but I'll figure it out. Go ahead, Derek. I'm sorry.
The individual items should be there.
Yeah.
But that's just not how Bob works through it. Okay, so all of the individual items that are components of the staff report are listed as individual attachments on the city's website. I know that's not how we.
Okay, yeah.
But the information is there.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah, go to the city website. That's what I mean, it's all there.
Okay,
on the city website.
All right, go ahead with your report and I'll get the thing up.
All right. Again, Derek Tokos, City Newport Community Development. I'm going to take a few moments to kind of walk through what's before you tonight and what's been submitted in terms of testimony, and our recommendation in terms of the staff recommendation, which is actually in the staff report as well. So what you have, and I'm going to go ahead and bring this up. Shared screen on the big screen. Okay. So the Newport Urban Renewal District, this, which oversees the South Beach Urban Renewal District, which is one of the city's three urban renewal districts, and it's the city's most mature urban renewal district, funded a study, the South Beach US 101 corridor study, that took about a year to do, wrapped up last November. It included multiple, you know, points of outreach through the pandemic. A lot of that was, almost all of that was done online. And then with work sessions as well with the commission and council. And one of the purposes of that study, there were several, but one of the purposes was to take a hard look at the city's zoning and comprehensive plan maps and codes to make sure that they align with anticipated development in the area. And there was a code audit that was done as a component of that. It was done by Jet Planning, Elizabeth Decker, and the full copy of that was included as an attachment to the staff report. Now, when we did this work and we did this outreach, we heard a lot from the community about the desire to see additional retail services in South Beach. You know, that everybody has to get everything they need on the north side, and folks would very much like to not have to cross the bridge every time they want to get basic services. And so one of the recommendations we had coming out of that was to make some adjustments to our zoning to help facilitate that. And when you look at and talk to a number of the developers, and the Urban Renewal Agency has been reaching out to different developers in the context of that 2.3 acre piece the agency has, the former Schoen's property there on the northeast corner of the newly signalized 35th and 101. We did get feedback, or have received feedback, that, hey, look, if we're going to make a significant investment of this nature for retail services down here, we need to have some confidence as to what is or isn't going to be happening around us. And the light industrial zone that the city has, which is very flexible and it has a lot of benefits with respect to that flexibility, it also doesn't provide a great deal of assurance as to what might be happening. You can have everything from retail service use to a vehicle storage yard or impound yard. And we have that as you go through South Beach in different locations. And so Jet Planning had made recommendations that you took a look at, and I'm going to go ahead and go to that page. And so their recommendation was to take the area kind of sandwiched between 101 and Ferry Slip Road, north of what was formerly the Ferry Slip and US 101 intersection, which has since been removed, and to change that from light industrial to C1. They then recommended that the existing I-1 at the northeast corner of 40th and 101, which is right about here, go from I-1 to a C1 or C3, and that the heavy industrial down here go from an I-3 to an I-1. Up here, the reasoning is that there's you're seeing your retail commercial push a little bit further to the south. That's why the recommendation is recommending that go to a C1. With future signalization in the cards at 40th and 101, they thought then this property would be conducive to commercial, and their view was that the heavy industrial at this location, given its proximity to quite a bit of residential development immediately upslope, would be more appropriate as a light industrial, so that you don't have the emissions that you typically would get with heavy industrial that do impact neighboring properties. And Ms. Decker, given her history of working on various projects down here, was aware there was a period of time where there was, for example, an asphalt batch plant that was operating out of this location and some of the issues that raised relative to upslope development. And the commission considered that, and at its last work session, or a work session probably about a month ago, you were amenable to expanding that footprint to include the area up here, Aquarian Village area, to bring it into a C2 zoning as opposed to light industrial, given that's the predominant use in that area and its proximity to the aquarium, with a significant tourist venue. And expand the I-1, C-1 footprint here to pick up properties on both sides of Ferry Slip down to about Barrelhead, maintaining that line there at that former Ferry Slip and US 101 intersection. That you wanted to see moving forward the I-3 to an I-1 for purposes of this hearing, but you weren't comfortable putting a C3 on one property at this location. It was basically akin to spot zoning at that location. That's the map we sent out, was part of the Measure 56 notice, which we were required to do because of the change they'd be making to these properties and the potential impact it has to uses on those properties. Now I'm gonna stop here at this last one, because it gets at one of the concepts that a number of the property owners have proposed, given they've had a chance to kind of digest this. And you've seen quite a bit of it in the written materials that you have, and I suspect you'll hear testimony tonight about that, which would be to take this area here on the east side of Ferry Slip and go with a C3 instead of an I-1. The principal difference between those two uses is that light industrial would then become a conditional use, but it introduces residential as an option at floors other than the street grade. And you do have currently a number of non-conforming residences in this light industrial area, along with a number of light industrial uses. And as you read through the testimony, I think the gist of it, that you had, at least in the written testimony, was that that would be a more appropriate and a little bit slower transition to commercial that recognizes a little bit better the existing industrial footprint that you have there, including Barrelhead, which would be what you would typically would consider a bulk retail type use as a lumberyard. I think, you know, that's not one that you had a chance to consider at your work session. I do think there's a lot of merit to it. And as I'd outlined in the staff report, I think you should give it careful consideration because I think that's a nice balance. And if you start to see more retail push down into that and issues with respect to conflicts there, you can always revisit that issue down the road. But that strikes me as a reasonable accommodation going with the C3. It picks up a number of properties there on the east side of a Ferry Slip. So that, you had a number of letters. You had a letter in there from, in the packet from Chuck Fornash, and I think it was Fred Yeck, and another gentleman whose name's escaping me right now, but it is in your packet. And then you also received a supplemental letter from Fred Yeck today. And you have a letter from Terry McCulley with the Barrelhead Building Supply that I just want to formally acknowledge came in as well. And then you also received a letter from the attorney representing Anheuser-Busch, which actually is operating out of the property, I believe, right about here, asking that C3 zoning be applied to that middle area as opposed to C1. They recognize that if C1 is applied, the property would go to a non-conforming use because it's a warehousing use at that particular location. They recognize in their letter that a non-conforming use can continue to exist and operate. That these changes in no way, shape, or form that we're talking about now would put an existing business that's operating, you know, out of business. That's not what these types of changes do. But when a property goes from conforming to non-conforming, there are impacts associated with it. If you want to expand, you have to go through a review. That review could be a staff level review, or it could be a review that lands in front of the Planning Commission. So there are some ramifications to that. I think the impact, there are also some code changes I just wanted to talk about as well, not just the zoning map changes that are in here. Those code changes also address some of the issues we have down here. We have currently a 50-foot US 101 setback from industrial. The code change would make that 15 feet and it would apply to commercial and industrial, because right now commercial has no setback, industrial has a 50-foot setback from 101. And that new development would need to landscape that type of buffer, basically, from 101. And then there's a code change in there that would prohibit within this corridor south of the bridge, new self-storage, towing, storage of vehicles, vehicle salvage, wrecking of vehicles, recycling of materials. It's consistent with JET Planning's recommendation there, and the principle there, again, being that the city, through its urban renewal district, has invested substantially in upsizing and putting in place water and wastewater infrastructure to support more intense development. And that more intense development that would have more significant positive impact on the tax base and employment. And there's very much a need for additional, for example, flex warehouse industrial space that could be supported with that kind of infrastructure. I'm going to touch on one other change too, because that's one here at South Beach State Park. This is a comprehensive plan map change only. The other changes, industrial to commercial, would be a comprehensive plan map change from industrial to commercial, and then the application of the commercial zoning. Here, this property is not in the city, so it'd be a comprehensive plan map change only. And this is the South Beach State Park maintenance facility at the south end of the park, and as you can see, it carries a high density residential comprehensive plan map designation. Our view and review of the records is that was an error, and the rules do allow for map changes, map errors to be corrected, but they do have to go through a normal legislative process. You do have testimony in there from the Department of Land Conservation Development and from the Fair Housing Council asking for some specific analysis. We believe we can make that analysis, but we should put that together before you make a formal recommendation. The analysis they're looking for is just confirmation that removing that from our inventory of potential future housing is not going to adversely impact our ability to construct additional multifamily. And we have many, many other properties that carry a multifamily designation that would be suitable for development. So we've got more than enough acreage. We can handle that kind of a deduction. And so that's principally what they're driving at. So while we want to continue to forge ahead with this, the agency wants to position that 2.3-acre piece there, former Schoen's property, for redevelopment. We want to facilitate other types of development in the corridor. You know, we also want to be cognizant. This is a public hearing, an opportunity for people to share their views on these changes. My take on it is I would recommend you take testimony tonight, but do not take action in terms of a recommendation. That, you know, you hear what people have to say, digest it, and then schedule or continue the hearing to the 22nd of August. which would give you an opportunity to meet on the 8th of August in work session to kind of talk through what you heard and decide whether or not you want to make any adjustments to the package of amendments. And then coming out of August 8th, what we can do is then provide notice again to everybody, let them know how it's been modified based on your kind of deliberation and thought about what additional changes should be made. And then go from there in terms of holding a second public hearing on the 22nd of August. Lastly, I probably should have touched on this a little bit earlier, but I do want to emphasize, as a legislative matter, you have a lot of leeway in terms of what you recommend to the council. The Planning Commission is making a recommendation. It's not the decision-making authority the council is, and they would be holding public hearing, at least one, if not more, before they make an actual final decision, and that would be at a later date. The criteria here for a comprehensive plan map amendment, I mean, if it's an error, it's an error. You call it out, and you can do it that way. If there's a public need for the change, as I articulated in the staff report, that's likely what you'd be leaning on for the other types of zone changes we talked about. And then is it in the interest of the community and consistent with the public welfare to move forward? Those are the types of criteria you have. And they're spelled out in the staff report as to where they're located. So I think I pretty much covered everything that I had intended to cover tonight, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have. Bob.
Yeah, first of all, I'm really disappointed that the document that I have is not the one you're showing on the screen. Mm-hmm. With those latest proposed changes. So, you know, I mean, we generally dig down pretty deep into this stuff, and I was surprised that you, at the comments, based on the document I was looking at, some of them didn't seem to make any sense. And that explains it, that I didn't have that map, but I just downloaded another one and it's still not there.
I'm not there.
I apologize for that, Bob, but it needs a little work. And that other page,
city website.
I still haven't found page 20, the real page 20 of the big packet anywhere. So, but
this is attached. Just so you know, though, this is attachment B that's posted on the packet right now. What I'm looking at right now.
Well, on the website, mm-hmm. I clicked on agenda, and then I went down to the link for attachment B just now.
Mm-hmm.
And the one I get doesn't have that additional area.
That's what she was talking about. You need to download the entire packet. If the links off the agenda are not taking you to the packet, okay. The full packet, that's where it's going.
Suffice it to say, there's an issue there.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that we won't run into that again. But my general question is, can you talk a minute about how these changes, particularly that one down by South Beach, will impact or relate to the future island annexation effort that's going to be getting underway, hopefully this year?
Yeah, as the, I don't know that I can show it all on here, but there is an island annexation that we are going to be pursuing and hope to pursue before the end of the year that would bring in the remaining unincorporated properties that are surrounded by the city limits in South Beach, which takes you to about 50th. Property south of 50th is not surrounded by the current city limits. And the way state law works is that with respect to land that's surrounded by a city can annex it with or without consent. But if you're not surrounded, then it's a matter of somebody applying to annex into a city, provided they're inside the city's urban growth boundary. And so this would, as properties annex in, they would get a light, most of them would get a light industrial zoning designation. That light industrial zoning designation would allow far more intense industrial development than is currently allowed under the county's rules. because they can't connect to sewer typically. There's only a couple of properties out there that are unincorporated that connect to sewer, and there's a history associated with all that that I can't speak to right now. But by and large, most of those properties that are unincorporated at this point, to the extent that they have industrial development, they're using holding tanks or septic systems. And so a municipal water and wastewater service allows for more intense development. These changes would not allow the uses we talked about in those zones. So, new self-storage or new vehicle impound yards or new recycling or wrecking or things of that nature would not be permissible. Any existing use of that nature would come in as non-conforming. And if it's non-conforming, again, as we talked about earlier, there's an opportunity for non-conforming uses to change, alter, expand, but it's subject to review. And that review is depending upon how big the project is or how much traffic impact it has. Could either be something that's handled at staff level. Usually the staff stuff is limited principally to residential. So if it's commercial in nature, it'd be going to you guys, the public hearing. Do you have any, did that get at what you were driving at?
There it says I-1. Well, that's in the city limits now.
Right.
But you said all the properties coming in would be, come in as I-1.
For the most part, yes, because most of that.
Have an opportunity to review that during the annexation process, or is that a take a look afterwards and
no, you can take a look at that during the annexation process. It's just not an action that's before you right now.
Wondering how this whole cycle is going to go when we, mm-hmm. because we need an overall picture
right.
of South Beach.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for Derek? Braulio, you got anything?
I don't have any questions. I'd like to hear the testimony from the folks who have come in to participate at the hearing.
Okay. I believe that's what we're up to. So I will call your name. When we get to the end of the names, I'll ask for anyone else. So first up is Bill Riley.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and shut that up.
Hi.
Howdy.
Here we go.
Bill Riley. I've obviously got towing and storage, which both no new uses for. I feel really singled out in that. I don't understand why they would preclude a towing, for one thing. It opened a truck repair business, but not a towing company. That makes zero sense to me. Employ the same amount of people. Anybody's driven by my yard. Did you ever see a wrecked car out there? No, there's a side obscuring fence. So I totally don't understand the precluding that. I do have a 3-acre parcel next to me that if we wanted to expand our mini storage facility, which we've been there for over 30 years now in that business. I'd like to stay there. I don't quite understand why we're going to change it to the, why we preclude that particular one or two industries. Like I say, you can still go build put a truck repair facility, looks like. That's light industrial. No tow company. I think we're a fairly vital service. When you have something laying on its side in the bridge, you're sure looking for a tow company, not another pot shop. Switch it to, seems like that's all the new businesses in Newport anymore, so. And then on the 32nd Street, I'm changing light industrial, actually, a property right on 32nd Street. Not from light industrial to commercial. Don't have a lot of use. I mean, it's always been rented as a warehouse. Now we have a cabinet shop in there. If he'd move out, I guess we wouldn't be able to. We'd have to put in a retail facility. No parking. 50 by 100 lot with a 40 by 70 building. So you have no real parking for like a retail store. Works good as a cabinet shop, works good as a storage facility for one of the fish plants. They used to house cardboard and stuff in there. commercial wouldn't. Like that would be very conducive for that particular piece. That's all I got.
Okay, any questions? All right, thank you. Jeff Bertolite.
On.
The other one is on. Yeah.
This one's not on. Memorex bill. This one on the other. You may have caught some. You got most of it. Okay. Jeff Bertolite in Newport, Oregon. I would have preferred to go maybe last, but I'm second. So you'll have to excuse some of my comments. They're going to be blunt and not hearing the rest of it. But first, let me start off. I downloaded your packet here, and I think I'll go through. They're talking about a 15-foot setback where parking, I guess, isn't allowed. Cars are 20 feet long. I'm not sure where you're going to put the cars. That means you probably have to go 15 plus 20 plus 24 before you put the building in, if you put any parking in front. So what I'm seeing is the person who ever made this idea up has no clue of how to build things. But the next thing here, I noticed that the aquarium, I guess C3 is a good option. You guys at least have changed, potentially will change that on the other side of Ferry Slip. I think that's a great idea. Other than C1, it doesn't work out. You can't, by the way, you know, retail is going by the wayside with all the online stuff. Everybody's getting things delivered. It's unfortunate. But I think also you need to look at a planned industrial commercial development section. There are larger pieces of property here. You can't just put a cookie cutter thing down and say this all works, especially when you get to this south of 40th Street. I understand we're not talking about that just yet, but we'll go through that. So let me... I got to say a question here on this one loud uses. It's showing us I1, and there's a lot of P's there. Pretty much everything's permitted under this proposal. There'd be a lot of X's. Like Bill mentioned, he couldn't have his business, or if he sold it, he'd be I don't know if grandfathers probably don't go to people you sell it to. So. Your SOL on that regard, it makes your property worthless in that regard. Nobody wants to put in a building underutilized. If some developer comes by and says, you know, I want to put in a big place, hire a lot of people, and I'll pay a lot of money for the land. You go, no, I want to have you know, parking there. Nobody does that. So it's kind of a misnomer. So I would highly recommend that you either modify this plan to reflect what the proposal is, or keep it like it is, which is preferable. I mean, look at, like for instance, here in Halco, which is gone now, wouldn't be permitted. We talked about the self-storage, so I won't reiterate all that. You can certainly hide things and put something in front of something to make it look good, but none of that is incompatible use. There's nothing to say that this doesn't work within the guy next door, which is what zoning is all about. Zoning, at least when I got my degree, wasn't about deciding what jobs go where. You know, that's not how it was worked. Maybe new plenty of people do that. I just didn't see that. I don't see how it's even legal. Let's see. Run through real quickly. Don't take too much time. The other one is coming up is the... landscaping, you know, I'm okay with that. I mean, they want 15 feet. Well, that's great. Well, in my portion, I've got 600 feet of frontage. So that's 15 by 600. That's 9,000 square feet. And then they're requiring 10% of your land to be landscaped. Well, if you've got 10 acres, that's 456,000 square feet of land, and that's an acre, basically at 10%. Now, if you have to put all your landscaping up in the front, like it indicates, which is probably needs to be changed for sure, you've got to put 57 by 600 feet of landscaping on top of the 15 feet you already have there to comply with that. And then, not only that, you got to put another 10% of parking. If your parking structure, if you just say at a Home Depot, which may or may not be allowed now, but you'd have to have another, I don't know, a couple acres of landscaping according to that on top of your bunch of acreage in the front. I don't know what, I have no idea if that is similar to Walmart. I kind of doubt it. They did a decent job before. It was a piece of, it wasn't very good. Now they have some landscaping, but I think these a little bit onerous on the ones they're proposing here. And let's see, we'll go through the other one. We get to projects. And then the other issue, I've seen a lot of cities, Oregon, I travel. I mean, I've been around the world. So people here in Oregon City, Newport, you need to look around. But if you want to have a nice 15-foot thing and street widens and all this other stuff, well, maybe the city ought to buy that right away and not have the taxpayers fund it and plant it, irrigate it, and mow it and all that stuff. I'm okay with that if they do. So that brings me to the last page here. But by the way, these people here represent millions of dollars of property, not just a couple hundred thousand. We're talking millions and millions. When it developed, it'd be more than that. And this is pretty much only where what's left to develop. So to say that Urban Renewal did a little job, I mean, they had to put the sewer in no matter what. So that's kind of a misnomer. I do have sewer on my property, thank goodness. And to say that there's no plans for widening 101, where are you going to put the sidewalks or bike lanes or wherever else? It's ridiculous. I mean, why would you not have at least a middle lane all the way down 101? You want to talk about having something nice. No one's going to come here with that kind of access. It's not going to happen. And then, let's see. Spectator redevelopment with half. Oh, I got the wrong sheet. There was another. That was another issue. So you really need to look at what larger properties are going to represent here and how they kind of work together. There's no plan for that. And then I guess you mentioned that you'll not do anything tonight, which is great. I was going to hold the record open for 30 days. I don't need to. And I would, don't need to ask for a LUBA right yet. Now here's the part you're not going to like to hear. As noted by the letters of concern, unfortunately, you'll listen to them, but these people should not have to have this kind of situation happen. It's like JET did not do their homework. It's like they did a fly-by-night, pardon the pun, over here. It's not really workable, defensible, or realistic. And it kind of just begs the question, in this case, this firm and the TSP firm is the competency of those who are hiring these firms. Both planning, the TSP firm was, they wouldn't have passed in the college I went to, and this one here was like, really? So, sorry, but that's what how I feel about it.
Any questions? Okay. Jason Ash? Ash? Jason, are you here? Yeah, come forward. Oh, you okay? Tom Hastings?
Yes, I'm Tom Hastings from Newport, and I'm the third signer that Derek couldn't remember my name of that letter. And I've got concerns about changing to C1 on my property. Right now, I do retail sales in the front. I've got a little art gallery, but I also do light manufacturing and some wholesale distribution out of the back. And both of those are not allowed under C1. And so I'm not pleased with that just going on with, you know, nobody came and talked. Nobody came to see what I do. It's just like the last time when they did the road. They came in and blanketed stuff without even talking to the owners. But it puts me in a where I'd have to apply for a conditional use or lose property value if I try and sell my business. So going to C3 in that area would allow me to do those two along with my retail, and that would be acceptable to me. But to go to C1 is would pretty much put me out of business. Thank you.
Where exactly is your property?
I'm on Ferry Slip Road. You know where South Beach Church is? I'm right across the street.
Any other questions? Thank you. Robert Hafe?
How are you guys? All right, so I'm here basically, I own Off the Hook, Newport Candy, and I'm RTHSB Properties, which is that ground that those businesses sit on, also where the auto doctor sits. And the other half of that is my storage for my candy business. That building is a web steel building. It's designed to be a storage building, which is like Bill Raleigh's building down on 32nd Street. That's what they're built for. That's what they're designed for. They're not designed to be for little shops and stuff, okay? So my dad in 82 fought this zoning thing back then. My family has owned that property since the early 70s. And I'm trying to figure out my building, not my candy factory or my restaurant. I think that still falls under what you're trying to change it to, doesn't it, Derek?
Correct.
Okay. So, does the auto doctors as a mechanic shop?
That would be non-conforming in that zone.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So now you're taking a big building that has housed a business in this thing since 80. 82 is when that building was built, and they moved into it. We built that building for the auto doctors. Now, it has changed hands only once. There was five owners of the auto doctors that started that business. Leonard was the last one. He retired. And now the new people in there, they still run it under the auto doctor's name, have taken it on. And it's a mechanic shop. That's what it was built for. It's what it's designed to do. It's got lifts in it and everything else. And looking at where you have this highlighted out, I'm the only one sitting here that's built a building to Derek's standards so I could function it the way I wanted to do. And that means parking. I had to show them X amount of parking spots. These little partials that you're looking at that are owned by all these people aren't designed to handle parking. So if you change it to C1, their property is not big enough to put a new building on and have parking. So I don't understand where you guys are going with the C1. Light industrial has worked. If someone wants to do something that doesn't pertain to light industrial, have them get a conditional use permit to function on that zoning. What's wrong with that? The only piece of property over there too that is empty, and I got to throw this out there, is owned by the city. The only one that can design to fit the new zoning is the city, because they have an empty piece of property once they get rid of the church. The rest of them all have buildings on them. And if you tear them down, they're not big enough to handle parking to be able to handle and be a C1 for businesses. And I know all this because I went through it in 2017 when I built that building. Okay? So that's pretty much all I've got. And you guys got any questions? I've been here my whole life. I can answer just about anything you need to know about South Beach. I was born in this town. It's good.
All right, thank you. Yeah. Tracy McDowell.
Hello. I am an attorney here on behalf of Pat Tryon, Robert Tryon, and Lauren Tryon, who all own the property that is zoned I-3. Currently, the only property zoned heavy industrial that you are looking at changing. First, I want to note that my clients only just received the notice from the city last Wednesday, so I'm happy to hear that you are going to be continuing this hearing and leaving the record open, because I was going to request that so that we can submit a more comprehensive analysis of what's proposed in the draft ordinance 2196. We strongly oppose any rezoning of the property owned by my clients, including the proposed change from I-3 to I-1. And we believe that the proposed change, if put into effect, would constitute a taking under Measure 49 and cause many other issues for my clients and the city. It's been stated in the last few days that I've been working on this project that during the course of this work and putting together this draft ordinance, the stakeholders were included in this conversation. You've heard testimony already that stakeholders were not included in this conversation, and that includes my clients, not one person from the Tryon family. There's four different property owners of this particular property. Not one was contacted. There are only three properties in the city of Newport that are zoned for heavy industrial use. The Rondi's property at the airport terminal, the property by the transfer station just north of Newport, and my client's property in South Beach. That's it. That's all the city has available for heavy industrial use. My questions for you are, how does the city plan on continuing to meet the heavy industrial needs of the community with this change? Retail's nice, but the concrete to develop the retail is nicer. Where is that concrete going to be obtained if you don't allow the heavy industrial uses in your city? You're down to three properties. This change does not support continued development in our area. It does not support community development in our area. It forces people to go out of our area to get needs such as concrete or rock or anything else like that. It forces them out of our community to get those things. I also want to note that the compliance audit that was conducted by Jet Planning that's the same company who worked as a planner privately for Land Waves on the Wilder project and the OSU student housing proposed just to the east of my client's property. It is impossible to say that Ms. Decker did not have a conflict when she performed this work and made these recommendations. My client's property is adjacent to the Wilder project. My client's property is adjacent to the OSU student housing project. And I believe Landways is up in that area too. Jet Planning is making recommendations to you and cannot possibly be unbiased in the development of this city in that area. My client's property was zoned for heavy industrial I-3 use, but long before any residential development took place in the area. Wilder did all of its trading of property to move the residential area it developed next to the industrial property. They knew it was there. Jet Planning knew there was an asphalt company that was operating out of there prior to this recommendation. Wilder knew that that was all there. My clients purchased this property many, many years ago, knowing it was zoned for heavy industrial use because they own a concrete plant. They were preparing for growth, for change, for anything that could they could better serve the community for. And with this proposed change, you are stunting their growth. You are preventing them from serving this community that not only Triag has served for years and years and years, but the same community that all of its owners grew up in. Wilder was also instrumental in redrawing the city limits to accommodate what they wanted. My clients donated the road access for the area across from their property free of charge and negotiated an easement with the city for drainage that runs through their property. And by changing the property zoning from I-3 to I-1, you are handicapping, wrong word, you are preventing them from going through with their plans. There's no valid reason for the city to rezone my client's property. There is no public necessity. The general welfare of the community does not necessitate it, and there are no mapping errors related to this property. The changes are going to cause my clients a loss of property value, loss of planned and intended use, and loss of the flexibility they relied on when they purchased the property. Again, I am going to put on the record that we ask that you leave the record open and continue the hearing to allow us to submit a more comprehensive analysis for you to consider. That will show you why these changes, these proposed changes, are a really bad idea. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? All right. Thank you. Steve Prelofter and Jeff Keane. I don't know if I got that name right at all.
Last name is Perlin Fine.
Perlin Fine, okay.
I'm going to have Jeff speak for me. I have the property. There's a tow yard. It's kind of in the center, right behind the auto doctor.
Good evening, Chair Committee. I'm here speaking on behalf of Mr. Perlin Fine in regards to his land on out there on the proposed change. We strenuously object to the changes in this. Right now, that property is being used as light industrial effectively and meets the needs of what it's there for. He bought that property knowing it was light industrial and intended to use it that way. I believe we have a situation here where many planning commissions have. You're getting the cart before the horse here. I believe you want to rezone this commercial to entice commercial building, where there's I don't know if there's a need for that or a builder that wants that property for commercial. The other thing that's scary is the fact that we'd be non-compliant within that. That means I don't know what that intends for changes. So if you were to change that property, what does that mean to the city versus what does that mean to the owner? Are we talking changing it from a use, building onto the property, adding a building, adding asphalt onto it instead of concrete or instead of rock? We don't know what that means, and since that scares us a little bit. So being non-compliant means that we would have to come in front of you to make those changes, which in my experience rarely ever get through. So then we would be out, and we'd be out of potential growth of that property for any industrial use in the future. I just don't understand that point of it. Right now, Columbia Distributing is using that property to house trucks that were displaced from the revitalization land. And so those trucks have been there using, much like Anheuser-Busch, they use that to load their trucks and get their trucks on the road for distribution of their product. If this was to change and they were no longer allowed to use that, where would they go? They couldn't stay there. So they would have to find another place. And from my understanding, that place might not be in Newport, Oregon. So now you have a potential loss of jobs. based on this zoning ruling. So again, I believe most of these folks bought this property knowing it was industrial and was expecting it to stay industrial for a long time. Understand that change is necessary, especially in comprehensive plans. However, change when there's nothing, no drive for the change, it seems to be a question that we all have. The other part is the loss of use of that land. If it was to become lost, now it just sits there, and we don't have any idea what to do that for. So we strongly object to that. The C2, while is a good compromise for some, I don't believe it would be a good compromise. We again bought that land for light industrial, not to be commercial at all. And so commercial is not why that land is there, or not why that land was purchased.
Okay, any questions? All right, anyone else wishing to testify? Sir?
First, let me say thank you for holding the public hearing. My name is Michael Smith. I'm representing South Bay Industrial Condominiums and your northeast block. That's the little tiny building between Aquarium Village and the Bayfront. I own two units in that building out of 14. When I purchased my two units, unit 14 was purchased largely because it had pre-existing approval by the city, the county, and the owners association as a watchman's residence, which I understand will be a non-conforming use and substantially impact my property value and use of that property. My neighbors and the other units use it largely for storage or for woodworking, other light fabrication. Many of those uses will become non-conforming as well. I've had that property for about 8 years now and had expectations that the zoning would continue as it was for the time I held the property. The Watchman residence, as an aside, was a lifesaver when my main home in Otis, Oregon was threatened by the wildfires, and we were evacuated for about 3 weeks, and we were able to move into that residence and keep the pets and family safe. So I'm kind of opposed to the zoning change. I don't see that the building is suitable for another use, so unless somewhere to buy the entire property, all 14 units, tear it down and build something else, the zoning change seems irrelevant other than the negative impact on the unit holders. One suggestion I might make is the property in question is in the northeast block on your map, behind Aquarium Village. The northern half of that cluster of buildings all belong to the aquarium, and they're used for maintenance and storage. And I don't see those converting to commercial retail anytime soon. The retail spaces in the Aquarium Village seem to function just fine under the existing zoning. So, were it necessary to change the zoning on that block, I might suggest a compromise position between Aquarium Village and the aquarium storage. Is actually an unimproved portion of Southeast Elm Street. So if that boundary, rather from the Bayfront, were moved to Southeast Elm Street, then it would leave the property that I own and my neighbors own under the existing zoning and allow the uses that are existing to continue. So thank you very much for the hearing. And
thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions? All right, ma'am.
Good evening. My name is Janet Wood. My husband and I reside at 138 Southeast 35th. So our backyard is backed up to Barrelhead. We're on 35th, one house over from the corner of Southeast 35th and Ferry Slip Road. We bought this house 20 years ago, and at that time, we had to prove conforming or non-conforming to qualify for residential lending. We got the proof, we got a letter, we sent it in, everything went fine. This year, and this addresses the problem with your mailings and communication, I had to approach the city again this year when we refinanced 3 months ago. You people knew this was coming, right? Nobody said a word, talked to multiple people, got a letter written, got it off to the lender about conforming or non-conforming, and no one thought to mention this is coming. I find that very insulting and sneaky in a sense, or have to wonder, what are you really up to? So then I read this letter that tells me my home, which is beautiful, almost $1 million, and I may not have anything. What's my value gonna be now? I don't know. Oh yeah, that's because I just got your letter. So I contacted the mayor. We went back and forth. He doesn't really know. He helped me find out how to get here. I had surgery 2 days after I got the letter. I didn't have time to even investigate anything. And a multitude of people involved, Chuck Fornash being one, I spoke to, no one had got the letter yet. So I made copies real quick, passed them out around the neighborhood, so that everybody really knew what was happening. That is really sad. That is just really sad. So basically, in a nutshell, all I could gather was you can do pretty much what you want to do. I don't want to be commercial. When you redid the street on 35th, when that plan went into effect, I watched and listened to dump trucks for 7 months as they kept messing everything up and having to dig it back up, put it back down. 7 months, I could barely use my driveway. I couldn't sleep. It was 6 a.m. every morning. I went through all that and to find out, oh, by the way, we used to be the South Beach Post Office. Yes, we do legally have two addresses that now the city refuses to acknowledge. But you took out all my parking. The planner said, no, you have to have this all curb. This has to be a curb. Park parallel if you want. I have had two, not personally, prior to my purchase, there were two businesses and a residence there, legally. And for years, the pottery shop and the South Beach Post Office. I think, well, most of us have had a box there once or twice. So now I have no parking for either, only enough for my residence. So why the hell did you put a curb up if you want to make me commercial? I don't want to be commercial, but maybe it'd be better for me because technically you're still considering me light industry, even light industrial, even though we have lived there in a residential aspect for over 20 years. So until I have further time to follow through, talk with more people, understand, you know, I spoke with my two people. I spoke with Rick Wright because he's an amazing, intelligent realtor. He was like, yeah, you don't want that. C1's not good for you at all. Because my question was, if I sell in 5 to 7 years, what's it going to look like? He said, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have a big problem on your hands. That's what I thought. Then I called Pat McCurran, which is a name most people in this room would know. He's been appraising homes in Lincoln County over 35 years. He's also a dear friend, and he was the only one that could appraise my land because of that conforming, non-conforming issue. It's really hard to find comparisons. He compared me to residential. My value of my home is residentially based. I said, well, what do you think? He goes, oh, I'd have to do a lot of research. This could be good, but I doubt it. And I said, well, what am I going to look like in 7 to 10 years? He goes, oh, man, you got a problem. I'm going to leave it there. Thanks. See you on the 22nd.
Thank you. Any questions? Sir?
Oh, sorry.
Mr. Chair?
Huh?
I didn't.
Mr. Chair?
Yes. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't have a question for any of the citizens who've testified. I just need to, I need to leave the meeting. I have a plane to catch in 2 hours. So I'll see you at the next work session. And thank the citizens for their input today.
Okay, will do. All right, Dale Webster.
Hi, my name is Dale Webster. We own Newport Marine and RV in South Beach. We're not affected by this yet, but I can definitely see this coming our way. I'm totally against it. I own 5 pieces of property here, quite a bit of land, and that's going to have a tremendous impact on us. We do retail, we do storage, and we do a lot of automotive, not so much automotive, but boats and RVs, which is what you're saying we will no longer be able to do, so we will be in non-compliance once it reaches us. It's not there yet, but we see it coming, so I'm totally against it. You go through. There's nothing good that's going to come out of this. We serve the county now. We do a lot of work for the city. We do a lot of work for Hatfield. We do state police. We do marine science, all that. And you're going to chase us out of here, and there's no place for us else to go, something like that. So I just want to be known that I'm definitely opposed of all of it coming down our way, and it should not be changed. Thank you.
All right, any questions? All right, anyone else?
Can I add one more thing?
Go ahead.
Thank you. So in your guys' plan,
would you come forward? You gotta get recorded.
Sorry. Sorry.
All right. So I gotta throw this out there. I've had Newport Candy Shop in this town for 34 years. 89 is when I started it. And off the hook since 2017. I also ran the ice cream parlor at JC Market and had the Cubs Cave across the street from the high school. I sold the Cubs Cave because I had no help, walked away from the ice cream parlor because I had no help. And before the COVID thing happened, I had 26 employees that worked for me. I have about 8 right now. I'm working double shifts trying to keep my businesses running. More commercial in this town doesn't work because we don't have employees to run the businesses we have now. And by a show of hands here that have businesses in the town, how many of you are shorthanded on employees? There you go. There's a small group of people in this town right now that own businesses that don't have help. So more commercial shops and stuff. We don't have the people living here. There's too many vacation rentals in this town. There used to be houses with families in them. When I grew up, 89 is when I graduated Newport High School. All those houses were full of people living here. A wife, a husband working at the mill or some part of the fishing industry or something. She worked at the bank or at one of the small retail shops and stuff. How many houses do you have in vacation rentals right now? There's why we all don't have any help. That's why there's help wanted signs all over this town. The sad thing about that is it's all over the state. It's not just here. It's everywhere. But we don't have the houses to house people. Okay? But I throw that out there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
May I follow up?
Yes.
Rob's curtail here. Speaking of residential, so his point is so valid, and we all know about Newport, the problem, and the whole state, but it's really tough here. Why are we changing land to commercial when this town, what this town needs is
affordable housing. HUD has a list so long, people are living on the street that qualify for HUD, would love to have a home to take a shower to go to a job. Not all of them, but there's many. Many families on that list. I used to help families in our community from my home for over 6 years. My business was called The Christmas Cupboard. And I'm telling you, they're living in cars all over the place and these kids are going to school. I was the one helping them find meals and clothing and blankets and tents. Why aren't we building? You're taking away and giving us more commercial when I respect that hearing tonight about the college housing, really needed. Totally agree with that. But why commercial? Can we just, we need more housing in order to house the people to employ them. Just saying, makes sense.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, what I'm looking for is a motion to continue this hearing to August 22nd, and we'll take it up at our work session on August 8th, which, by the way, is open to the public, too. May or may not have time to talk, but you can sit in and listen. So if we have time, we usually take testimony from people or at least talk to people, but we never know. We've got a lot to go through.
Not testimony.
Yeah, testimony, but
yeah, comments. Testimony, yeah.
I got to get it right. Okay.
I move we continue the hearing to August 22nd.
I'll second.
Any discussion on the issue? Hearing none, all those in favor signify saying aye.
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 All opposed? Nay. Motion carries.
I'd like to request, Derek, we heard a lot of good testimony today, but I'm not as familiar with South Beach as some other people. If we could have a map that indicates that people that testified and the properties they were talking about.
Sure, be happy to do that.
I know Newport Marine, but several of the others I couldn't visualize. So
sure, I'd be happy to do that.
For the work session. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have unfinished business, updated Planning Commission work program?
Yeah, I had included an updated Planning Commission work program. I plugged in these changes as part of that. Juggle a few other items around. I'll just touch on those briefly. The 48th, we would have this. We'll probably have the constructability assessment that's going to be going, the housing study piece that Eco Northwest's working on right now for some discussion. We don't have a regular session item on the 8th, so my advice would be to just stretch that a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm looking
because we have quite a bit of items there. I was assuming we would be going longer than just 1 hour on the 8th to pick up the other items as well. You also have the updated camping ordinance that's going to be going to the council. That's going to be getting sent back to you, so I want to make sure I'm bringing you up to speed with the same stuff the council's looking at. And then the city center revitalization project, that piece is going to the scope of work the state has at this point. So I'll have that just for you've already looked at it previously. It's in a final form that they're going to be then soliciting consultants for. And then on the 22nd, on the work session, you'll have some additional stuff on the housing study, and then we have the Yucuna Head traffic study in a final form now. That's the one that's up by the Yucuna Head natural area. And so that's something that you'd be adopting into the city's comprehensive plan. So I want to review what the scope of those projects are. Most of them are strictly on BLM property, but some of it extends out to the intersection there at 101 and elsewhere.
You mentioned a grant to assist with some of the the lighthouse to lighthouse. So what is the status of that?
The lighthouse to lighthouse is a that would establish a trail connection from the Quinnette Lighthouse down to Ocean View on the on the west side of 101. That's what this Quinnahead traffic study is important. It's important that we get that adopted into our comprehensive plans so Federal Highways knows that it's something that people are generally supportive of. We have an application, joint application with BLM that's pending. It's about a $4.7 million project. So we'll know in the fall whether or not that's something that they select this go around with the federal access program. But I do, you know, and this may move, but I do expect that that Starfish Cove 20 lot plan development will be ready for the 22nd of August. We may bump that to the 12th of September just to make the logistics work a little bit. And then we have, I don't want to go through them in all detail. I did want to just briefly mention to you that the that land swap with Boston Timber Opportunities, that 40-acre land swap, is finally going to a hearing with the county. It's September, possibly October. I'm trying to get a firm date out of the county on that. And the county did require them to modify that proposal a little bit. And so it'll have to come back to you guys. So I'm carrying that out there. It's not gone. I talked to Hancock's representatives just the other day. It's just, it's a slow slog with the county on that. And so it's just taken a while to get to this point. So that's the update on the work program.
Okay. All right, and I skipped over new business. We didn't have any of that, right?
Right.
And any other director comments?
Not at this point.
Okay. And then we're adjourned.